Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Steele here. Now, I know you're waiting for the next big episode of the Michael Steele Podcast, but in the meantime, give a listen to this Michael Steele Podcast quick take.
I'm really excited about who's dropped by the podcast for a conversation today. I've known Jennifer Rubin for a long time. What we're going to get in today is the release of her new book, which, folks, is a really, really good read. It's called Resistance, How Women Saved Democracy from Donald Trump. Is out now, and you can get it from all those wonderful places you get your books from. What did the early days of this resistance look like, and how did it evolve?
It was remarkably organic. And what I mean by that is there was a very similar pattern. As my husband observed, there was always a cake that was uneaten at the election day party. Everyone went out and got a cake and no one ate it because it was a disaster.
Right, right.
And so almost unconsciously, women moved to talk to their friends, and those friends brought in others, and they wanted to figure out, can they do something? And women who were in larger organizations understood they had to focus the energies of their group to figure out how to get through these 4 years. So I think from shock to connectivity to a sense of the possible was kind of the transition. And what the Women's March did was it took, largest day of demonstration in American history. Women suddenly realized, I'm not crazy. I'm not alone. Look at all these people. If we can get all these people literally and figuratively marching in the same direction, we've got power. We can do something about this. And immediately after the inauguration and then the Women's March, which was the next day, if you remember, the next week came the Muslim ban. And people spontaneously got in their cars, literally drove out to airports to protest and to be seen. And it was like the kindling was there, the match was lit on the Women's March, and then the bellows come out on the Muslim ban. And suddenly you could see something taking off. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you could see momentum. You could see a sense that people wanted to do something. They were tired of being depressed. They were tired of crying, and they wanted to get out there and do something. And I think the other thing that kind of fueled this is it went well beyond politics. These were issues of basic human decency, of democracy. We're talking children being separated from their parents at the border. We're talking about a Muslim ban. We're talking about kind of these visceral issues that even women who disagreed on other things had a moral and a values-laden response to it. And we talked a little bit ago about how sometimes the Democrats get themselves all tangled up with right. a zillion policies and, 15-point plans. In politics, if you can get people to move to the next level, one of values, one of what kind of people do we want to be? What kind of country do we want to be? That cuts through a lot of this noise. And there was something about this specter of Trump. And they said, whatever that is, we don't want our country to be that. We want a kinder, more decent, more democratic, fair, more inclusive country. And that covered a lot of bases for a lot of
that begs the question I was going to ask you next, and that is, what exactly are these women or were these women resisting? You talk about, the title is How Women Saved Democracy from Donald Trump. But in reading it, it's more than that. So people just get it straight up. This is not, another anti-Trump book. It's not that at all. It really is about the evolution of a different kind of movement, political energy within the democracy for the purposes of saving that democracy from itself. It's like your mama always did when she comes out on the front porch and calls you to the house and goes, all right, come on in, baby. It's time to come in. And you're like, well, why? Well, what she sees happening on the street, you may not see, but she knows it's time for you to stop doing what you're doing and come on inside. And, you know, we'll let you play again tomorrow. But right now, I don't like the feel of what's going on in the neighborhood. It's time to come in. Women seem to have taken that role. And it really it wasn't just about, from my assessment of it, about just 2020 per se. It was 2018. It was 2016. It goes back to 2012, 14. I mean, this has been in the making for a while. And it, for me, the question is, what was the essence of the resistance? Was this the resistance to what men were doing? Is it resistance to the cruelty of the nature of our politics, where to a point you were making earlier when you're talking about human infrastructure, we don't even want to provide basic aid for moms and kids to survive. What was that resistance?
I think at a very fundamental level, it was the notion that America should be a fair and decent place in which bullies and tyrants don't call the shots, in which there is a level of humanity and decency. And as the neighborhood analogy is so great, we want to live in a nice neighborhood where people are decent to each other, where we're not, you know, kicking the neighbor's dog and we're not right. throwing stones through the neighbor's house. That there was a vision of America, maybe it wasn't in ideological terms at all, but it was the kind of country that they thought of themselves, the kind of America that they wanted to be. And I think what happened is they really realized that the very foundation, the kind of fabric of who we are as a country, was being severely tested, was being torn apart. There was another idea out there that America was kind of a dog-eat-dog world. Right. It was a zero-sum place. You needed a strong man to save this group of people and
right.
get up against that group of people. That's
and he was actually the problem.
Yes, that was not what they wanted. And so I think it was a rediscovery that the way you get to that better, decent place, you really have to go back to fundamentals. Do we have a democracy? Do we have a free press? Do we have transparency? Are we going to allow people to use office purely for self-promotion mm-hmm. and financial gain? That in order to create the good life and the good America, you have to have certain democratic norms, certain modes of behavior, and these people were trampling all over it. And that was an anathema to them. So I think more than any policy issue, it was about taking back a country where no matter who was president, you felt that there was a president, maybe you didn't vote for him, maybe you didn't like his policies, who was for America, who wanted what's best for the country, who was not out to scam America, who would stand up to its adversaries, who, if given the choice between helping people live through a pandemic and not right. living through a pandemic, would do the right thing. And suddenly they didn't have that. It was like they had been almost overtaken by a foreign power, a foreign ethos that was very antithetical to what they had. And I think they understood that in order to, if I want to get more in healthcare, or you want to get, you know, a better foreign policy, whatever those little, and I don't want to demean them, whatever those discrete issues are, if you don't get the ethos right, if you don't get the structure of democracy right, we are not going to be able right. to function as a society. And it's not simply we're not going to be able to get what we want. It's what we have is going to be lost, that we are going to turn into a society where violence and racism and a lot of other bad things really have a strength in our society that they've not had in a while. And so I think it was a very emotional, very value-laden exercise. And in some ways, the Democrats, either intentionally or not, were very smart in finding a Joe Biden who a lot of these women could say, the soul of America, that's what he kept saying. It was more than he's a decent person. We can be a decent country. We can respect one another. We can respect democracy. We can have a president who follows the rules, who has some conception that right. the Constitution doesn't allow him to do whatever the heck he wants and get rich and get his kids rich and everybody else, that we can have something other than a tin pot dictator. So in some ways, for once, the Democrats really like nailed it on the kind of figure and the kind of message that could not only bring Democrats together, but could bring people like you and I together, independents who could say, we just have to get back to some fundamental understandings about what America is going to be like. And, you know, these things happen incrementally. They build on one another. You have in 2017, Trump takes office. You have the Muslim ban. They turn out. Trump's big push was to repeal Obamacare with really nothing that was going to take its place. And suddenly the country said, you know, it has a lot of problems, but this is not a good idea, taking healthcare away from people. And even Republicans right. began to realize that. Yeah. It's like, I don't want you taking away the Affordable Care Act, but Obamacare can go.
Right. Which is always amusing. It's always an amusing conversation.
Yes. Once they realized that this was them. And so suddenly they realized they had power. Oh, these guys do not have, the sole lock on things. You then come around into the fall and you have those Virginia state elections where a slew of women run and they essentially sweep the state houses, 15 seats, switch sides in Virginia. So this is about the momentum. You then have in Alabama, Roy Moore, right. accused child molester in Alabama. And they pull off this stunning upset that is built by, again, a values-laden argument, a revulsion that this is not the kind of people we want in politics. And politics is about a lot of things. And one of them is momentum, the sense of confidence, the sense of progress that the country had made a really bad choice, but we're not destined to go down that road. We right. have a choice. And so when success breeds success, and once women get into positions, they're there to kind of pull up other women. And I really do think that at least in the congressional realm, these women who ran and won office for the first time in 2018 were blessed because they had Nancy Pelosi as a speaker. And what she did was she took freshmen, gave them subcommittee chairman, which to your voters sounds like, oh, well, big deal. That's a huge deal.
It's a big deal.
Freshmen big deal. And freshman women don't get these things, right off the bat. But she understood you got to put these women on the escalator to leadership. You got to put them in positions where they can show that they're, tough, muscular on national security. They can lead a committee. And sure enough, she was able to kind of put these people on the escalator. And you have Deb Haaland, who is now the Secretary of Interior. She was a freshman.
Right.
And, she would not have gotten there. She would not have been in the majority. She would not have gotten recognition had it not been for Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
And so I think once you have these success stories, people see something's possible. Okay, we made a difference. Wow. We had a success here and we can build on that. And in some regards, they were extremely lucky because they had this hateful figure in the White House who continually reminded them
right,
that
right,
they had more exactly. in common yeah. than they did. Child separation policy, promising and then, refusing to do anything on a parkland, which was right. a huge issue in after the midterms, where high school kids getting mowed down in schools. There was such a gap between ordinary people's sense of values and decency and what they saw that they could put aside some of these ideological issues and focus on the kind of country they wanted to have. And I think women, you talked earlier, and I think that's exactly right. They began to change the way we talk about politics. Republicans have always talked about values. You can say that they're phony values or they're bad values. And Democrats have talked about policy. For the first time across the board, and particularly Democrats who are in the resistance, understood the power of values, the power of emotion, the power of a higher vision of what they want for the country. And, you know, we'd like to think, because we're all wonky and we know 7-point plans for this and 12-point plans for that, that people make choices because they like this healthcare plan or they like that education plan. No, that's not how they pick their leaders. They pick people who they think represent their basic values, are going to be in there getting stuff that is going to make their lives better and making the country a decent, better place.
Right.
And it was that understanding that allowed a relatively large ideological group to get together and essentially eliminate the Republicans from power in 2020, losing the Senate, losing losing the White House.
Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele podcast quick take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah. I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.